Thank you for that. Well, I'm going to read a passage today. I had plans before Easter of what I wanted to speak on, and it's Easter morning, sometime during that morning, as during the service, God said, go to the book of Acts, and so I did, and here's where we are today in Acts chapter 1, and I've titled the message, What Now? What do we do now? And so let me read these first 11 verses. It says, I wrote the first narrative, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up, and after he had given instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After he had suffered, he also presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. I would love to know who Theophilus is that Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke and this book of Acts too. He probably commissioned this work of Luke putting down this history, researched history. But he go to verse 4 with me there. It says, while he was with them, while Jesus was with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father's promise, which he said, you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit in a few days. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, are you restoring the kingdom to Israel at this time? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. In other words, don't worry about that stuff right now. It's fun to learn, fun to talk about, but that's not the main thing. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And after he had said this, he was taken up as they were watching, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while he was going, they were gazing into heaven, and suddenly two men in white clothes stood by them and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up into heaven? This same Jesus who's been taken from you into heaven will come in the same way that you have seen him going into heaven. In other words, get to work. Let's go. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. You've brought me here to give this message to your people, Lord. And we just praise you for it. In your name we pray. Amen. How many of you have something that you just really object to, that you're just, maybe you say, I'm just not ever going to do that? I've thought about some of these objections. I've got one that the doctors have changed a lot of my medicines, and every doctor I go to adds one or takes one away or changes one or something, and one they put me on is Ozempic. I don't like it at all because it's not so much that it makes me feel bad, but I can sit down to a big plate of food that I want to eat and would normally eat, and I can eat about a third of it. And there's all that food sitting there, and I can't get any more into my stomach. And I don't like that because I like to eat. I'm finding out that it's not what I need to keep my body going. It's just that I love to eat, and this stuff tastes good. And I object to this, but I've got to keep doing it just because it's good for me. And the side effects are seem to be going away, but it's other than when I eat, I just, you know, have you ever seen a puppy that just eats and eats and eats and that belly blows up? I can take 3 bites and my belly blows up. You know, I don't like that. But there's an objection there. But I've seen a lot of YouTube videos and things like that where you'll have a kid that's about this tall, 10 or 11 years old, and they're standing on the edge of a 1,000-foot cliff or a 500-foot cliff or something like that, and they have strapped a bungee cord around them, and that kid just hops off and falls and bounces on that bungee cord. I ain't doing that. Okay? I'm sorry. I don't mind heights. I used to not like heights at all, but I had to work on roofs and stuff like that, and so I had to make myself get over that. But I'm not willingly jumping off a cliff tied to a rubber band. I'm just not doing it. And I'm afraid that thing may have stretched one too many times. And I love roller coasters. I've not had roller coasters. I mean, they always scare you, and that's what they're there for, but that's fun. I know I'm not falling out of a roller coaster. I know I'm relatively safe on that. The thing that scared me in Six Flags was the gasp. Y'all remember that one? You sit in a park bench with a little rope pulled around, not around you, but just over the top of where your lap is, and that thing takes you up 200 feet, or it did, and then it started dropping you down. And there's nothing holding you in that seat, but you're wanting to stay in that seat. Okay, and I didn't like that. But the other stuff, I'm fine. I've got objections to things. If you invite me to your house and you put food in front of me, whether I like it or not, I'm probably going to eat that food, because that's an insulting thing to me to go to somebody's house for dinner and them have worked hard and cooked something, and it may not be my favorite thing. I'm going to eat it just because. But if you put a bowl of chitlins in front of me, I ain't eating it. I don't care if it's fried or boiled, I'm not eating it. Okay, just get, you know, there are objections. You understand what I'm getting at here, that there are objections that we have. And when it comes to sharing the gospel with people, when it comes to doing this work of the church, we all have objections, don't we? I've got them, and there's not been a time when it didn't put butterflies in my stomach about sharing the gospel with somebody. I want you to understand that. And there are plenty of times that I've heard somebody use some bad language or tell a bad joke right before I was about to share the gospel with them, and I've used the excuse, well, that would embarrass them now if I share the gospel with them. There are all kinds of objections that we come up with, and everybody's got one. I don't know what to say. I'm afraid they'll ask me a question that I don't know the answer to. I don't want to make them a friend or family member uncomfortable or make them angry with me. And I've heard some people tell me it's rude to share the gospel with somebody, to talk about religion with people. Religion and politics, it's rude he was a Yankee, so that's, you know, we get that. But I wanted to say, man, I've seen you do a whole lot more rude things than that. But we have objections about sharing the gospel, don't we? And telling somebody about Jesus, mostly the reason for that is the same reason I'm not jumping off that cliff, I'm afraid. I'm not about to. But when it comes to telling somebody about Jesus, I have never in my life been hurt by it. Now, I've been cussed out, and I've had doors slammed in my face. The door slamming in your face doesn't hurt as long as you back up enough that it don't hit you in the nose. You may not like it, but Saturday morning at 10 o'clock, we're going to meet here, and we're going to start a project I've been praying about and working on, and I think Satan has been trying to stop for a long time, that I've been planning since before the first of the year. And I want us to be able to share the gospel, or at least contact every home within a mile of this church, within a 1 mile radius of this church. And I've heard I don't like knocking on doors. I don't either. I don't think that's the most effective way to do that now. It's the way we used to do it all the time, and I know people have changed and nobody wants you into their house. We're not going to go into anybody's home. Now, in your, Gabe handed out a sheet to you, and if the sheet, the side of it that's got the most on it there is the questions that I want you to go out and ask, and it's a very simple couple of questions. Do you know of anything the church can do for you or for this community that we're not doing right now? Do you have anything personally, you or your family or friends, that we can be praying about? And we're going to follow up on those prayer concerns. And would you mind if I just took a second and told you what Jesus has done in my life? That's a very simple things that we can share with people. But I want you to see this morning, I titled this message, What Now? The disciples had been with Jesus for 3 years. there were more than the 12. There were many others that followed Christ. And if you keep reading in this chapter, I think there were about 120 now that were gathering together. And these guys had followed Jesus for 3 years. They had seen him die. They had seen him risen from the dead. They had touched him. They had eaten with him. They had talked with him. They had done a lot of different things with him. And Paul tells us that he showed himself to over 500 people at one time. There's all kinds of evidence of that. And now what happened is, after 40 days, Jesus rose up into heaven and was gone. And the verses 9 through 11 there tell about the disciples watching that, and they were doing the same thing you and I would be doing. They're looking up into heaven, and their mouths are open, and they're wondering what in the world just happened. And I know that a thought kept going through their minds, what do we do now? That's why the angels told them, he just told you what to do now. Get to work. Get to that. How did the gospel from 120 people that were there that day go around the world so quickly? So, well, it didn't go all the way around the world. Not all the way around the world, but in 35 years, the gospel went from Jerusalem, from 120 people, into Europe, with Paul traveling into Europe. And it went into India. I think Thomas was the one that went to India. It went north, and it went south into Egypt. It went all around the known world in about 30 years from a small group of people. It's impossible. There are different religions, different sects of religions today that are out there that have been around a long time, been around hundreds of years, but you don't know about them. You may not have ever heard their name. I haven't heard their name because it doesn't travel that quickly unless God is in it. But here's how he sent the gospel around the world. Those who had experienced Jesus shared their experience with Jesus. Those who had met Jesus and known him and he had changed their lives, as we all claim he has, shared their experience with Jesus with other people they cared about. It was that simple. It was not theology classes. A lot of what we call the theology of the church hadn't really been hammered out at that point. We're not talking about you being able to teach a seminary class in soteriology, which is the doctrine of salvation. Not talking about that. It's just, I met Jesus. Here's what he did for me. Here's what my life was like before Christ. Here's how I met him, and here's what he did for me. And I can share that. Well, what if they ask me a question I don't know the answer to? Say, I don't know. I'm not sure about that. I'll get back with you about that. I've got a pastor that you can talk to and give him a phone call or sit down with him, and he'll be glad to. He probably knows the answer. He'll be glad to, if you may be talking about another pastor, but he probably knows the answer. And he'll get you, he'll help you with that. Did you hear what the man in the video said in the video we started the service with this morning said? He had been in that life of drugs. He had gotten out of jail. When he came back, he had met Jesus in jail, and when he came back home, he said, I wrote down what he said. Let me make sure I get it right. He said, I wanted to tell them about Jesus, and he said, I cried because it's so simple. This is nothing complicated. This is something that I am telling, something that I know better than anybody else, which is my experience with Jesus. What you know better than anybody else is your experience with Jesus. And you may say, well, I don't even understand that. I don't even understand all that Christ has done. I don't either. But I know he did it. And I can tell somebody about that. I'm hoping to encourage you this morning. But we do this. This gospel goes out through those who experience Jesus sharing their experience. But notice what we're saying this morning, that everybody's saying so loudly to. The goodness of God. All my life, He has been faithful. I'm able to share that with somebody. All my life, He's been faithful. And Cynthia's saying, I know that my Redeemer lives. That's what Job said when everybody was telling him, Job, you brought all this on yourself. You did all of this. You're the sinner. You're the one that has caused all of this. Job said, look, I know my Redeemer lives. And I'm going to see Him on the earth. And it's an incredible testimony. But I know my Redeemer lives because of what He's done in me. You know He lives because of what He's done in you. The disciples knew Jesus and they knew what He had done because they were there when He did it. And I want you to understand something here. When it says there in verse 8, listen to what it says. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. When we read that, oftentimes we think they will receive power and they will be my witnesses. But what He said is you. And so every time we read this, us, we are put here over 150 years ago to be a witness in the Gratis community. It's changed a lot, hasn't it? In 8 years, it's changed a lot. I remember leading one of the first business meetings in the church, and when I was here, I don't think I was the pastor yet, and I remember Dick Jackson standing up and talking about a development that was supposed to come in the Gratis area that was going to have 100 homes in it. And the whole time he's talking, I'm thinking, that's great, because that's 100 homes and families we can go to. And he's talking about this thing, and he said, but we got that stopped. I said, oh, God. It's changed, hasn't it? I'm not all for everybody moving out to Gratis. I like it. I like Gratis. But when people come out to us, we've got an opportunity to reach them with the gospel. And Christ put us here to do it. So I don't know that I'm equipped. How am I equipped for this? How am I made ready for this? So I don't know what to say. I don't know what to share. We're taking care of a lot of that for you. But I want you to see the way that we're equipped. In verse 4 there, he said, while Jesus was with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait. For what? Wait for the Father's promise, the Holy Spirit. He said, you have heard me speak about, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit in a few days. I want you to understand something. If you are a believer in Christ, you have been baptized with the Holy Spirit. You cannot have Jesus and not have the Spirit. You cannot have Jesus and not have the Father. You can't have Jesus and not have the Spirit. He's baptized you, and that means He has immersed you. He has soaked you through and through with the Holy Spirit. So I don't feel Him in my life. That's a whole different sermon. You may not be listening to Him. You may not be wanting to hear what He's telling you. But you have been fitted for the kingdom of God because you have been baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they came together, they asked Him, Lord, are you restoring the kingdom to Israel at this time? That's another thing I probably should put into this message. Don't worry about the things that are not that important right now. We don't know exactly what prophecy is going to look like, how it's exactly going to lay out. I think a lot of this stuff happening in Israel is right now is prophetic, but I don't know. I mean, it looks like it, maybe, but the main thing, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Here's what that means for us today. You're going to receive power, and you're going to be a witness to share what you have experienced with Jesus from where you are to the end of the earth. They were told to stay in Jerusalem, so that's where Jesus started. And it's going to go to the end of the earth. What we give in the Annie Armstrong offerings, you're sharing the gospel in ways you're not physically able to do, but that is funding those ministries. When we give, and we do support the Center of Hope, and when we give to those things, we're helping to share the gospel and do that work. We're a part of that. But I want you to notice something here. It doesn't say you will become powerful and you will then be able to share. He said you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you. When you stand in front of somebody and ask them, may I share with you what Christ has done in my life? The next words out of your mouth may be, but you keep going, you'll get the word out. And the next one, and the next one. And you may stumble and stammer through it, but God will use it. God will use it in a great way. You said, what is our work? I've probably already covered this. When you think of the work of the church, what is our work? You will be my witnesses to the end of the earth. I had a lady tell me one time that she believed, it was not in this church, it was another one, and she said, I believe that God doesn't want me to witness. God has equipped me to stay in the church, and when everybody else witnesses, I welcome them to the church. And I wanted to say, you're not doing that very well either, because it was a whole different church. But I just said, no. You can't back that up with Scripture. Well, I'm a servant. God gifted me to be a server. So I love to work around the church. And you may love to work and come and you know, take care of flowers or take care of whatever needs to be done around here. And God has gifted you to serve that way, but you're still a witness. You may say, well, I'm an administrator. I'm a teacher. Well, if you're a teacher, you really need to be out here helping others learn how to share the gospel. So I'm a deacon. Well, I got all kinds of responsibilities on me. I love our deacons. But if you're a deacon, keep on reading in Acts, the deacons were preaching. So we're to be, before anything else, before everything else, we're to be people who share the gospel, who tell our experience with Jesus, be a witness of Him. So the last thing I want you to see this morning, and it's a very simple point. Let's begin Saturday morning. You've got the chance to begin this Saturday morning. The handout that I have given you, we've got a very clear command here. And that handout that I've given you, on the back of it, has your testimony. And it is a very simple outline. I don't have to give you any more teaching about this because it's a very simple thing. Don't overcomplicate it. It is your experience with Jesus. Okay, so the first part of it is what my life was like before I met Jesus. Well, I was 9 years old when I met Christ. I grew up in a Christian home. I was not a terrible sinner. But sitting on the front row of the church one Sunday morning, when the pastor finished the sermon and gave the invitation, I knew God spoke into my heart that I needed Jesus and I needed to be saved. And so I came up to the pastor standing here and said, I want to be saved. And he said, huh? And I said, I want to be saved. And he prayed with me and I was saved. It was a simple thing, but that's my life before Christ and how I met Jesus. I grew up in a Christian home. Godly parents, godly grandmother, all of that. But the difference in my life since I've met Jesus. Of course, I was a teenager. I became a teenager, and teenagers do some dumb things sometimes, and I did a lot of them. But Christ held on to me through all of that. Christ began a work in me where not only has he used me in his kingdom, but through all the things we've gone through in our lives, I've known beyond any shadow of a doubt that I've got a God not just standing beside me, but living in me. Amen. That has taken control and taken care of these things. And here's the good part. You can have that same thing too. And you ask a very simple question. Have you ever had an experience like that? And if they say, well, no, I don't know, I don't think so. Can I share with you how you can have that experience? And we've got gospel tracts sitting on my desk right now. And you can take those things and read them with them word for word. You don't have to make up a thing. And it'll walk you through how somebody can be saved. Now, if you ask a person, have you ever been saved? Oh, yeah, yeah. Tell me about that. I was a kid. Okay, tell me a little more about that. A lot of people can. What's Jesus done for you since you were saved? A lot of people can't share that because they don't know it. But you get the opportunity. Not only this Saturday, but everywhere you go. This Saturday is work for the church, it's work for the kingdom, but it's training for you too. We'll try to pair you with somebody that is more comfortable in sharing this. Okay? Jeff and Danny and Gabe may have 10 people following behind them each, but we'll pair you with somebody that is more comfortable with this. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray between now and Saturday for the people we're going to contact on Saturday. I want you between now and Saturday to take this sheet and take a notebook, piece of notebook paper, write out your testimony, those three parts. Writing it makes it a little more clear. You're able, when you write something down, you think about the words you're using and begin paring it down till it's about 30 seconds, my life before Jesus, 30 seconds of how I came to know him and 30 seconds of how he's changed my life since I've known him, where you can share the gospel with somebody in a minute and a half. Share your testimony with somebody in a minute and a half. Very brief. And if they start asking questions, you get to expand and talk to them as long as they'll talk with you. But keep it brief. Practice that. Get somebody you can practice it with. If you feel bold enough, call up somebody that doesn't know Jesus that's a good friend of yours and say, I'm trying to rehearse something. Do you mind if I share it with you? See how I do with it. You can use a little bit of trickery in there. It's okay. As long as we're getting the gospel out. And share Jesus. When you do this, your knees may shake. You will be, first time especially, you'll be nervous. But I keep thinking about an uncle of mine that went to a week-long evangelism class, a very simple class. He didn't realize until Friday evening that he needed to be there Saturday morning and they were actually going to go out and share the gospel with people. And he kind of got trapped into that. He didn't think this thing through, I guess. And they went out. And he shared the gospel with a few people and a little girl got saved. And we were supposed to be back at 12 o'clock. He was out till 2:30 sharing the gospel with other people. From the joy of that one person getting saved, you will never know joy. You have never known joy until you share the gospel and you see somebody come to faith in Jesus. It's incredible. If that ever gets old, you've got a problem. Okay, you really do. But I'm encouraging you as a church. We're going to find out, is there something that we're missing that is a need in this community that God's going to enable us to take care of? Is there something that we can be praying individually for somebody about? If we're going to do that. And do you know Jesus? That's the greatest need anybody has. I've talked long enough this morning. Like what a lady told me, her name is Lee Ho, that was Josh's friend, was here. They come on Easter and Christmas and different things, and Zhao works with Josh and at Caterpillar, and Lee speaks English, but it's kind of a little bit of broken English. She told me leaving yesterday, I always enjoy your speech, and it's the only thing she knows to call it. That's good. How do we close this today? I want you to do something with me. We're going to stand and sing in just a moment. Bow your head for just a moment. Who's the one person that is family or friends or neighbor, or maybe an enemy, maybe somebody you can't stand, but if they know, you want them to know Christ? Whatever name just popped into your head, take a moment right now and pray for them, for their salvation. And let me ask this one thing. As you're thinking about your testimony, do you have a testimony to give? If you don't, ask Christ why. If you don't know Him, today's the day to know Him. Today's the day to follow Him. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to keep your heads bowed. I'm going to lead us in prayer. Stephanie and Miss Carolyn are going to come and lead us in music. And then we're going to respond however God's telling us to. Father, right now is time for us to think about You, to think about those that don't know You and the purpose that You came for, to be able to save us, to be able to rescue us. And Lord, as we think about the work that You've called us to, we're not trying to influence anyone politically. We're not just trying to fill a church or take someone from one religion to another. We're trying to introduce them to the One that created them and the One that has given everything to be able to save us. So, Father, we lift up every name that's been prayed for, and I ask You to take this time right now and use it for Your glory. In Your name we pray. Amen. Y'all stand with us if you would.